Good afternoon, everyone. I'm a real alcoholic. My name is Dave Rinella. I would like to have Joe come up here and read the preamble, Brandon to do how it works, and Dave to do the 12 traditions, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Joe, and I'm an alcoholic. This is the Alcoholic Anonymous preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and to help others recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
I'd like to thank Joe, Brandon, and Dave. Now what we're here for. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here, to be able to stand up here in front of you people, and to be able to introduce another link in the chain of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because that's all I am. I'm just one link in the chain. But I heard this guy probably about a year and a half ago, and it really moved me. Not so much how long he's been around, but the things that he's gone through sober, how he's learned to live life on life's terms. So without any more for me, I'd like to introduce you to Bob.
I hope you don't go there. There's nobody else up here but me and him. I'm getting scared a little bit. I'm a sober alcoholic. My name is Bob. Would those who care to help me with the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. When Dave asked me, he called me, I said, I think you got the wrong guy. He called me again. I said, I think you got the wrong guy. I know there's somebody else out there besides Bob. There's a lot of Bobs in this room. And you know, I just want to say thanks, Dave, for asking me. I want to thank the committee, the university, and most of all, I want to thank Alcoholics Anonymous on 81 years birthday today. I have my son, my nephew, I have a lot of good friends in the audience, and I also have a guy that I sponsor. He talked his wife into coming down for the weekend, and it's their 10th wedding anniversary. He really sold her to come to Alcoholics Anonymous at Akron, Ohio. Bill and Stephanie, God bless you, Bill. You know, for me to get a little relaxed into telling my story, I like to ask a few questions of the audience, if you don't mind, so that I know I'm on the right playing field. I'd like to know how many people here have ever slept in their car before. Oh, how many people have ever been in jail before? All right. How many people have peed their pants before? All right. I'm getting to feel better. How many people have lied before? Right. How many people have lied since they've been sober? Oh, now I'm feeling real good. I feel good. I'm all right. I'm on the right playing field. The other night I led a meeting and I asked this question. There wasn't that many people there, and maybe I shouldn't ask this, but I just so everybody knows, we've all been somewhere. And I asked, you know, if there's anybody here that's never cleaned a toilet before, and nobody raised their hand. And the girl that was chairing the meeting got up and she thanked me for the meet. And she says, Bob, you know I clean houses. And I cleaned 3 toilets today. Shake my hand. I love humor if you don't get it yet. I like to laugh. I like to be able to feel good about my sobriety. I come today to celebrate my sobriety. I don't come today to share my troubles of yesterday. I come today to tell you about some of the challenges and being a sober alcoholic in Alcoholics Anonymous and how I work the steps, how I put the 4 absolutes in God in my life, how I use people as examples in these rooms and outside these rooms. This is not a retirement program. This is not a nursing home. This is not a place where alcoholics have come to talk about their haven for their sick problems that they had before, or my puke versus your puke, my DUI versus your DUI. This is a flight from reality. This isn't a flight. This is a flight to reality in the book, it says. And I'm here to tell you, it's not easy, but it's the best path that I've ever followed. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. When I come here in 1969, my anniversary date is 11-7. It's a good number, 11-7. On 7-11 in 69, I was in jail. So I constantly remember that. But you know, when I got here, I was a skinny little kid. And I had a lot of kids. I had 9 boys. Somebody said, yo, and each one had a sister. Do the math, I had 1 girl. You know, I was married to a good alcoholic, a good Al-Anon person. And she was a good Catholic. And she said, we're gonna practice the rhythm method. Well, you can see I missed a few beats. And I used to call it the Vatican roulette. She didn't like that. You know, I had a lot of problems when I come here, more than just alcohol, but I was done. I was cooked. I was fried, you know. And I can go back to tell you when I picked up my first bottle, not my first drink. When I picked up my first bottle, it was 1949. It was summer of 49. And I was with 2 of my schoolmate buddies. They were a year older than me. And they said, let's get some wine. I said, how are we gonna do that? They said, well, we know that you do the wine running for your mom all the time. She writes a note. We'll write a note and you go up and get us some wine. I said, that's a good idea. And they said they wanted 2 bottles of Muscatel. I said, you'll have to spell it, because I couldn't spell Muscatel. I got the 2 bottles of Muscatel, and the long and short of it was, we got sick. One is always somebody gets sicker than the other one. We took them home. And Walter and I decided to go to the show that night. It was a Saturday night. And his dad caught up with us. And his dad was about 6'5", 280. And he grabbed us both by the neck and took us up to Dickie's house. And we want to know where you got this wine. We don't know what you're talking about. And then they called Dickie out of the bedroom. And all he had on was his underwear. And he was black and blue from the top of his head to his toes. We said, we'll tell you anything you want to know. And we told him where we got it. And the guy got busted. He lost his license. We got put on probation. And we got our ass beat and got taken to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. All 3 of our dads belonged to AA, and they wanted to teach us a lesson. You know? It should have been it right there. It should have been it. But it wasn't. You know, I grew up in an alcoholic home. Does that make you an alcoholic? I don't know. It has something to do with it. But I'll tell you one thing. It may be hereditary, but sobriety is not hereditary. Sobriety is not hereditary. You know, I love this program. It's done so much. I've been so blessed. It really humbles me, and it's so, I feel in my heart to be here today. What an honor for a guy that done the things that I've done in my past. You know, and for the things I've done, even sober, you know, I get to stand up here. I get to stand up here and share my story. And my story is not much different than anybody else's, you know. Alcohol was my problem, but I had other problems. And I come to AA, and everything got worse. Then it got better. And then it got worse. Then it got better. Because I wasn't getting better. I thought everything else should get better. I didn't know they were talking that I get better. I thought you got better. And you know, I came in at a time when there were still the porcelain mugs and the ashtrays. You know, people talk about the ashtrays, how therapeutic they were. Sometimes I think they should bring them ashtrays back just to clean them, you know. And you know, the men sit on one side, the women on the other. And they were all dressed up, and they had something to eat afterwards, and they had fellowship. Today, I got to get through that cloud of smoke, and their hats are on cockeyed. You know, hey, bro, what's up? You know, I don't understand it. But I try to adjust. I try to adjust. And that's what Alcoholics has done for me. It's helped me to adapt to a better way of life. because without being able to adapt, I couldn't be here. And it was only through a higher power, people like yourself working these steps, that I've been able to adapt. You know, I can tell you, I slept in my car, I went to jail, I peed my pants, you know. I don't do that today. Well, I can't say I don't do that today. just so you know, I got almost 47 years of sobriety. That doesn't mean I got it all together. And I'll tell you a story how I can tell you how I don't have it all together. I take a little medicine, and it makes you go to the bathroom. And I get up one morning, and I'm dressing, and I'm hurrying up. I got to see this guy. And I get to this guy's office. I said, I got to use your bathroom. He said, go right ahead. And he's waiting for me to come out. He knocks on the door. He says, what's going on? I says, I figured it out. That's what? I put my underwear on backwards this morning so I can still have problems. I don't do everything right. Sometimes people think because you got some time in the program and years of sobriety that you got the answers. I don't have the answers. I just know what I got to do today to stay sober. You know, I just know what I got to do today to stay sober. I know I have these kids that used to call me all the time and they'd say, what are you doing, Dad? I said, I'm trying to be a 5. They said, what's a 5? I said, it's not a 10 and it's not a 0. Just a 5. Just an average guy going through this life, relatively being trying to be happy and trying to stay sober. Leave me alone, you know? But most days I only make a 2, you know? Most days, and that's all I care about. I don't want to be anybody special. I just want to be a sober individual trying to be okay with my life. Loving people who love me, you know, reciprocating back. Instead of being a problem, I want to be part of the answer. You know, I can sum it up real quick. Like in 1969, I looked like a 6-foot piece of rope with a knot tied in the middle of it. Okay, and I had busted glasses. And that was my MO in the bar. Give the guy down at the end with the busted glasses. That's how my identity was. And you know, my wife had called me. She got me at one of them bars and she says, my water broke. Would you please come to the hospital? And I said, I'll be right there. And I meant it. Just like I meant I'd be here today. But I had to finish that drink. And the next thing I knew, I woke up and I was in jail. And I was going up to see the judge. And he was sitting up there in that high seat and those little cheaters on, you know, when he looked down over like this here, you know, it's nothing good coming. And he says, I want to tell you what a father is. He says, and you're not it. He says, your wife gave birth to a son 3 days ago. What do you have to say? And I knew enough not to say anything. And that was in July. That was 7-11. My anniversary date's 11-7. So I continued to drink. And I went up to Rosary Hall, and I come out of there, and I continued to drink. And you know, on my last drunk, I got a police ride home. Anybody ever get police rides? Never sat in the front seat, always in the back. I always argue with him. I want to sit in the front. No, you're not sitting in the back. And he brought me home, and they dumped me out at the side door of my house. And I went in the door, side door, and I turned left. I should have turned right. That was my MO. Same thing was I was in school, in those little Catholic schools. They said, sit down. I'd stand up. They'd say, go right. I'd go left. And then I met Sister Mary Body Slammer, and I figured it out real quick, you know. And I missed the first step when I went left. Just like the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. You missed the first one, the rest are a real bitch. They're a real bitch. And I hit my bottom. I literally hit my bottom on the basement floor. And I thought I had found the biggest American standard there was. It was so cold, you know. And by this time, my wife was going to Al-Anon. And she didn't like the way we were living. And who could blame her, you know. And she'd open up that cellar door now and then and she'd say, had you had enough yet? And I thought, if I could get up off this floor, I'm going to choke you to death, you know. And you know, I knew I had enough. To this day, I remember I had enough. Any morning I get up, I remember I've had enough. And I know there's more out there. And you can have my share, whatever it is. I don't want any more. I want this way of life. I want to be a sober alcoholic. And you know, my journey in AA, it's been like a roller coaster, you know, like when you get in those amusement parks and Walter and Dickie and I used to bring the bottle of wine and the little school have us go to the picnics and we'd sit in the front and we'd cuss and puke and drink the wine and then we get in trouble when we get at the end of the line, there's sister waiting on us. I'm still on the ride. I'm still on the roller coaster. It's called life. But I'm hanging on because you people taught me how to do the ride. I know how to do the ride today. It doesn't mean I like it sometimes. Doesn't mean I'm not afraid. Doesn't mean I don't get angry. But I know how to do the ride, and I've got you right there for me. It's like being on a school bus. When I got that bus over at the Hilton Garden, and I came over, and I'm looking around for the seatbelts. It's like a school bus. There's no seatbelts there wasn't beyond, but there's people to hold on to. There's curves and there's hills. And all I got to do is reach out. I got to reach out to one of you or to my higher power. I've been blessed. You know, I got divorced since I've been sober. I got remarried since I've been sober. I've had a lot of things happen since I've been sober. I lost jobs since I've been sober. But I've been able to adapt. I've been able to cope with it because of people like yourself and a belief in God. Not only a belief, but a trust. Oh, a trust you have to have. I know it. I got tested one time. I was supposed to have surgery. They found I had a tumor. And they said, it's got to come out. Go home and make whatever you got to do and come back. And I didn't want to go back. And there was a kid at the meeting one night. He had about a year of sobriety, and I had maybe at that time 25 years. He says, I understand you're supposed to have surgery. I said, yeah. He says, well, why don't you put your money where your mouth's at? And I said, what are you talking about? He says, you tell us about believing in the higher power. When are you going to trust in him? What are you scared about? I wanted to jack him in the jaw. But he was telling me the truth. I was afraid. I'm afraid. And there's nothing wrong with being afraid. It's what you do with it. And I turned it over. I turned it over to people like you. I turned it over to my higher power. You know. He said I could talk until the calves come on. I come in here, people are taking pictures. When I got here, they'd have thrown you out of here if you had took a camera. You feel like a rock star going to an AA meeting anymore, you know. I really feel in my heart that I've gotten so much more, so much out of AA, but yet I am still excited about what more sobriety will give me. I still get excited about what more sobriety will do for me because I know I'm not finished yet. You know, I've met so many wonderful people. And some real, not trusted servants, but twisted servants, you know. I identify with them, you know. I identify with them, you know. Nuts, and I know that I'm a nut too. But I know what I have to do to stay sober. I know what I got to do every day. And I get on my knees every day, every morning, every night. I thank God for this life, this sobriety. I thank God for my family, you know. I just buried my sister 2 weeks ago, and it was real trying, but I was able to go down to Florida and bury her, and I felt okay because I had made peace with her and I had a good life with her. And you know, everybody's going to meet the train at the end sooner or later. I just hope that I'm full. I'm full of AA. I'm full of my higher power. I'm full. I want to be full, and that's why I keep coming back. But I gotta remain grateful. And sometimes I forget. And you know what it's like? Sometimes you're grateful, then all of a sudden I realize, no, I'm not so grateful today. It's kind of like the story where the woman on the beach, she's screaming, and this guy comes up, what's the matter? He says, I had my little grandson here. Well, what happened? I don't know, they must have got washed out. The guy runs out, and he brings the little boy back, and he's breathing. And she says, oh my God, I'm so grateful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he gives it to her. And she says, he had a hat too. You know, I forget. I got to keep coming back to be reminded. And people's stories and how they deal with their situations today. It's kind of like somebody said, you know, at the spring of the year at high school, they put those high hurdles out there. They're not there to break their ankle. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, and it's been a big challenge. I met some wonderful people who have taught me so much. I met guys that had more tattoos and teeth that taught me so much. I can't believe it. I love them. See, I love Alcoholics Anonymous with all its imperfect people. And I remember saying this at a meeting one time. I says, is there anybody here, and I question, anybody here in this auditorium that's got it all together? Please stand up. Nobody stands up usually. One time, somebody stood up in the back. It was a 7-year-old kid. Huh? 7-year-old. What a witness. What an example. Yes, that's how I got to be. Childlike. Not childish, but childlike. That's what I got to do. And it's sometimes tough because I'm addicted to things, you know, food, and I'm addicted to anger sometimes and resentments. But I got to keep coming back to keep my mind right. A lot of people here is old enough to remember that movie Cool Hand Luke. Huh? And that guy stands up there and says, what we have here is a failure to communicate. What you get, you must like. We don't like it no more than you do. And then when he got put in that hot box, Paul Newman got put in that hot box, he says, you got your mind right? Yes, sir, boss, I got my mind right. That's why I keep coming back here to keep my mind right. Because it wanders off. It wanders off. You know, I got sometimes stories to tell you, like going to discussion meetings. And when I first got sober, I liked going to the discussion meetings because I wanted to stump the panel, you know, read Psychology Today or know what was on this page, you know, and they laugh. But this one guy was coming to the meeting with me, and he was a pretty sharp guy. And he asked a group one night, he says, I got a question for you. They said, what is it? He says, I don't know if it's really me when I'm drinking or is it really me when I'm sober? And I thought, oh man, I wish I'd have thought of that one. That's a good one, man. And there's some girl there, she couldn't have been more than 16 or 17. She looked over at him, she says, it's very easy to determine. He says, how's that? Which one do you like the best? I like my sober better, my life better sober. And if you don't like yourself better sober after you've been here a while, you better watch because the door is going to swing right out at you. That's what they told me. You know, I met some wonderful people, and some of them I didn't like, but they taught me lessons. You know, they taught me lessons. And I want to tell you, I look back on things, and it's a story that it's like this. It sums up some of my feelings. There was two people who were madly in love with each other. And they were young, they had nothing. And the guy proposes to her. And he looks over and he sees some marbles close by. And he scoops up the marbles and he holds them up to her and he says, I wish they were rubies. 45 years later, he's a famous playwright, she's an actress, they got plenty of stuff, great life. And he's sitting at her bedside, she's dying of cancer. And he's telling her about how much he loves her, how great life they had. And he looks at the nightstand and he sees some rubies there. And he scoops up the rubies and he holds them up to her and he says, I wish they were marbles. Don't pass it up. Life is precious, and especially being sober. I want to feel everything, the good, the bad, whatever. I know what to do with it. I don't like it a lot of times, but I want to feel it. I want to be there. I want to be present to the moment. I want to be present to the moment when a little 10-year-old kid, a nephew of mine, when he found out it was my anniversary, and he goes over and he scribbles on his school paper, and he says, congratulations, Uncle Bob, on your anniversary. I love you as much as possible. What's that worth? That's what I want to be present to. That's what AA has done for me, to be present to that, to respond to that. I want to respond in the most loving way that I can, but I don't always do it. That's why I got to keep coming back. You know, I'm getting hot. I don't know about you. I lied, I've cheated, I've stolen. They used to say, just behave yourself, Bob. Oh, man, God, that's tough to do sometimes. Some people have anniversary dates for lying and cheating, too. Some of them ain't that long ago, you know. You know, I told you I had 10 kids, 9 boys and a girl. I have 3 sons who are members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm proud of them. I have four other sons who are not members of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm proud of them too. I love my kids. And I've had to bury three of my kids since I've been in this program. In 1970, in June, I was 6 months sober. And a knock come on a door, and it was a police officer, and he says, "We've got a problem, you gotta come with us." And I went with them. And we went over to the street from my house and went in the back, and there was a lot of people there. And he pulls a blanket back and he says, "Can you identify this child?" And I said, "Yes, it's my son, 7-year-old Timmy, who drowned in a swimming pool. Somebody pushed him in." And you know, I was only 6 months sober. I really hadn't put AA inside of me. I had it on the outside. And I was hurting. But so wasn't my wife at the time. So weren't my kids. But I still was thinking about myself only. I stayed stuck on stupid for a long time. For a long time. And they say to bring the body and the mind will catch up. And sometimes they say also that the truth will free you, but they don't say it would be painless. And the truth did free me. And it was very painful, but it was freeing. And I got past that. It's not that I forget that boy. It was a terrible time in my life, my wife's life and my kids' life. And you know, I got busy in AA, and I started to put AA inside. I started to say more, AA is in me than me in AA, because that's where it's really at. It's got to start from the inside. And you know, I had the opportunity to be tested many times with crises and kids growing up and drinking and smoking pot and all that stuff, you know, and I'm aggravated and I've been tested. But you know what? People in these rooms and my higher power have kept me together to be able to deal with those things. Drinking, I could have never done it. And you know, my daughter, I want to talk to you a couple of minutes just about my daughter. She was beautiful. She was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. She went through the IBH twice. Now, the second time they called me up and said, "You got to come get your daughter." I said, "Why is that?" "Because she's pregnant." I said, "Oh my God." You know, I tell my buddy that's a priest, I said, "My daughter's pregnant." He says, "It's probably the best thing ever happened to her, Bob." I said, "Easy for you to say. You go home with nobody. I go home with other 10 people." Oh. And it was. She had a set of twins. And in the first year, she delivered twins. She stayed sober, got a coin. She got a driver's license. She finished high school. She started college. And she met some knucklehead on a Harley. It gets better and then it gets worse sometimes. And she had another child, a boy. She came to me, it was April of 87. She stopped at the house and she says, "Dad, I'm going out to Glen Bay to lead the meeting." I says, "God, that's great." She said, "What would I have to say to them people out there?" I said, "You got a wonderful story. You could share your story with them." And she did. She glowed. You know how when you see some people in AA, they glow. Some people got brown spots up here, you know. She glowed. And I says, "Go do it." And she got out to Glen Bay and she said the Serenity Prayer and dropped over dead at 26. She said, "Serenity Prayer," and dropped over dead. But she was full. And how I handled that, so much different. I was there for my wife. I knew what I had to do. I wasn't stuck on stupid anymore. I'd had some time in the program. I'd stuck a little AA inside of me. And I had a lot of yous to help me. And I had my God. And we buried her. You know, life went on. My present wife went this way and I kind of went that way. I went to AA more, she went to church more, and we got a divorce after 37 years. After 37 years. And you know, it was a terrible time in our lives. But I hung on. I hung on to God. I hung on to AA. And after that divorce, I going to meetings and people said, "Don't worry about it, things will work out." And they did work out. And I started looking around. I didn't want to be by myself. So I started dating this gal. And she only had 3 months in the program. And I had the AA police after me. You know, I was in the AA Gazette. You know what that is, too. It worked out. We were partners. We were partners. She had a heart. I'm telling you, I can only illustrate this heart from when I went to, I heard this guy talk about his mom that passed, and he said he went into this store that was an unusual store, and it had these jars, and they had hearts in them, and they had dollar signs on them. And there was one heart for $5 million. He looked around, and there was another heart for $10 million. And he saw one for $25 million. He says, that was my mom's heart. That was my wife's heart. That was my wife's heart. It was huge. It was huge. She taught me so much. She was so, a lot less time than me in the program, but she taught me so much. She said, we're going to take Rosie out to lunch and get her hair done and buy her lunch. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. So we go out, you know, and there we are. I'm buying Rosie lunch. She's sitting at a table. I get up to pay the bill, and I leave a tip on the table. My wife and I are walking out, and I look back, and there's Rosie sticking a tip in her pocket. And I'm getting angry. I'm getting a resentment. My wife, with just a few years, says, I'm glad she took it. She must have needed it. Oh, I tell you what, she had a heart, man. I couldn't stand it. She taught me so much. You know, I was able to bathe her. I was able to feed her. I got to do that before she died. God has been good to me. You people, this program. You know, one other guy said, one of my sons, he was a slow learner. It's like we have slow learners in the meetings, you know, come in A's, you know, come in and out. He was a slow learner, but he was an example and I missed him. See, there's examples outside these rooms. They're not just all in these rooms of AA. They're outside if you keep a keen eye out for them. He went to a little Catholic school and he flunked. You know, he was slow, you know, keep him back. You know, he didn't gripe at all. He even got to high school, he flunked, you know. And he said, Dad, I want to get out of high school. I said, yeah, everybody wants to get out of high school, Tom. And he said, I got a plan. He came to me one year. I said, what is it? He said, I'm going to summer school. See, everybody should have a plan. We give you a plan when you come here. If we give you a plan, you got to follow directions. And he had a plan. He went to summer school and he graduated from high school. I was really proud of him because I didn't think he'd get out of grade school. And that summer, he says, I'm going down to Kent. I said, what? He says, I'm going over to Kent. Oh, my God, he's going to go down there and show him his records. The person interviewing him probably drew higher in a breathalyzer than his GPA was, you know. But he went to Kent. He knew he could go to Kent at state school. He knew that. He had a high school diploma, and he went to Kent, and he went to Kent, and he went to Kent. He found a job. I thought, Jesus, he's happy. Let him stay down there. And he graduated from Kent State because he hung in there. And the point I'm making is, in order to get any hope, you have to have endurance. You have to hang in there. And endurance builds hope, and hope builds faith. And for you people that keep coming back, keep coming back. Hang in there. He became a Benedictine monk down in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, a guy I never thought would get out of grade school. And he was giving a talk in front of his fellow community of monks, a place he loved. He was 31 years old. He sat down after his talk and he fell off the chair and died at 31. You know, I went down there and there was a conference going on in Latrobe and a bunch of people come down from AA. I was ready to book it. And here comes these guys in from AA, shows up again. They show up everywhere. And he held me up. You know, and I'm looking at him, and this guy, there's a couple monks here and there, and they're 89 or 90, and he's 31. I'm looking at him. And he said this in his eulogy, too. I says, it doesn't figure. He says, what do you mean? I says, he's only 31. He says, yeah, but he put it together in 31 years. I'm still putting it together. Isn't that all we're doing here now? We're just still putting a little bit together. It's precious. Make it count. Be present to the moment. I'm grateful to be here. My heart is full. It's very humbling to stand up here. It's very privileged. There's some things that I still got to deal with, and I can deal with it. Because I was taught from people like yourselves that when tragedy happens, you deal with it. Because if you don't, the tragedy is if you stay in a tragedy. And I'm not going to stay in a tragedy. I'm going to keep moving. In fact, Dick Van Dyke just wrote a book. He's 90-some years old. The name of that book is Keep Moving. So keep moving. You know, I want to close. I want to say thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to Akron, Ohio to celebrate A's 81st birthday. Thank you, Dr. Bob. Thank you, Bill W. Thank you, Sister Ignatia. Thank you, God. Thank you to committee. I got one request, just one request, and I know that we said this already, but it would really please me if you would join me, if you would join me in saying the preamble together, please. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their hope with each other. They may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for A membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. A is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy. Our prime business is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. God bless y'all.
Wow. Thank you, Bob. Every time it's a little bit different, and every time it's just exactly what I need to hear. As a token of our gratitude from the Founders Day Committee, I would like to present you with this little gift here.
You don't even know what it is yet. You clap for everything here. Even a pack of cigarettes you open, you clap for, somebody said. Oh, my God. Says thanks, Bob C. We learned that we had to fully concede to our alcoholic. There is the first step in recovery. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
We're going to have Bob lead us in the Lord's Prayer now.
Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Yeah.